What the city is talking about. This is Montreal Now on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
That is James Venny. He is over at the Montreal Gazette. Jim, I'll begin with your first note for me today, the headline that says, unless you know something we don't know, will François Legault last another year in office? What's going on?
Aaron, I have to tell you something strange is going on. I mentioned earlier this week that things were feeling kind of different, that there was a really odd vibe coming out of Quebec City, coming out of the CAQ, and coming out of François Legault. So here we are. We wake up on this lovely Wednesday. It is Wednesday, right? Morning. And what do we see in La Presse? We see a story pointing out that on François Legault's watch, the public service, the civil service, the bureaucracy has grown by 10,000 jobs. And it's a great story. It's thoroughly researched and so on and so forth. But it's not news. This issue has been raised repeatedly on your show, on the station. We've been talking about it quite literally for years. But all of a sudden, it has re-entered the news cycle as some kind of new development. Indeed, they tried to scrum Legault on this very topic today. He tried to sidestep it by saying, not literally, but almost, how about those Habs, before he walked away. And here we have the Treasury Board President, Sonia Lebel, turning around saying, well, you know, we had to increase the number of civil servants because we were offering more services to battered women. And wait for it, of course, we need more people to protect the French language.
Of course.
So I'm looking at all of this. And, you know, these things don't happen in a vacuum. I'm really getting the impression that there are at least a couple of newsrooms out there that have turned around and said, you know, they sat down, they took a look at everything that François Legault has said since he became Premier of Quebec, or indeed as he was campaigning to become Premier of Quebec, and everything he has done. And they're realizing that the so-called third link fiasco is the least of the, less than candid pledges that Mr. Legault made to the Quebec public. Indeed, we're also talking about, you know, he said he was going to change the voting system and so on. There is, I just get there seems to be a shift, Aaron, in terms of like, you know, the tumblers on this lock of news coverage. And all of a sudden, it's not that the CAQ has become the underdog or whatever. It's really looking like the CAQ has become the party that is going to have to pay for what it has said. It wants to be a populist government. It, you know, it wants to take the cheap and easy route. It wants to appeal to people's emotions or their prejudices or indeed their hatreds. Well, that's coming home to roost now, because you cannot turn around and say, well, we're going to cut the civil service by 5,000 in 2018, increase it by 10,000, and walk away from that. No other Quebec premier has ever walked away from that. And perhaps it's finally dawning on certainly some newsrooms in this province and perhaps with some opposition parties that no premier should.
You know, yesterday you mentioned, I think, the idea, the surprise that learning the situation or realizing the situation after the whole third link, debacle, if you will, they're going back and still talking about this again. It's not been thoroughly dismissed, right? It's going to come back somehow, because I don't know what they think they can gain from it, trying to win those voters back that caused them to lose in Jean Talon. But that aside, Jim, you also have a situation today. We were talking earlier to a Liberal MNA about this whole student intern situation, right?
Yeah.
The fact that they want to be paid. They're striking today in front of the National Assembly. They plan to do it for 3 days this week. This goes back to something the CAQ had promised, because it was passed last March, that they would in fact do. And now they're saying, oh, yeah, we're not going to do it. And apparently because it would cost too much money or whatever else. You wonder how many of these things they can withstand before. Well, I mean, we're seeing their ratings plummet, but how many of these do you keep, you know, battles that you sort of say you would start one way and finish another, that they can withstand before people realize they're a spent force?
Well, spent force, but and this is kind of dangerous for the rest of us, because you don't have to like the government, but you have to have some faith in it. The government has to have some credibility. Mm-hmm. If the government's word is quite literally worth nothing, it's going to be very, very difficult for Quebecers to take anything that comes out of Quebec City under this government even slightly seriously. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing such a bounce in the numbers for the PQ and Paul Saint-Pierre Plamondon, because he is in every sense of the phrase, not Francois Legault.
Right.
And you know, you and I have had this debate before. I think the whole separation thing might shrink if his numbers continue to grow. But all that said, what I'm seeing now, and when I ask you, you know, is he going to last the year? My original phrasing of the question was, should we put together a pool on how long Francois Legault is going to last? But I, honest to God, think he is looking for a window. He is looking for an opportunity, whether it is the criticism that cannot be borne, the policy failure that cannot be explained. I think he is looking for a way to get out and still hold his head high, say, listen, I did my best, but you people don't appreciate me. You'd rather give your support to some separatists, which to me is something I can actually hear Francois Legault saying. But, whether it's, as I say, like a dog with a bone, they won't leave the third link alone, even though it has cost them a fortune in political goodwill. But I think at bottom, it's just stubbornness. And will there be a mutiny? Will that caucus turn around and say, listen, boss, we did get elected based on what you said, but what you said turns out to be, a lot of hot air. We're going to catch the flack. We had a little taste of it with the LA Kings fiasco, the LA Kings scandal. We had a couple of M&As suddenly speak up and people saying, well, no, it's just an aberration. I'm not entirely sure about that. And which is why, and I'm sort of keep harping on this, but I really am getting a gut feeling that wheels are turning. The whole tone seems different. We're hearing, when we do hear from Messieurs Dubé and Fitzgibbon, who were like the other, the other third of this political trio with Legault, I find their comments are a lot more subdued, a lot more circumspect. I get the impression, to a certain extent, that entire government's on a holding pattern right now, trying to figure out how to get out of the very, very deep hole that it dug for itself, and yet unable to stop digging.
All right. I want to just go to this last part, which I brought up yesterday. We were talking to a lawyer, actually, about this whole idea that the SAAQ, of all people, of all agencies, wants to introduce biometrics, in other words, facial recognition. And, it seems to me, Jim, it's almost like a Monty Python sketch, right? If you could pick any agency within the government that would want to go ahead and start this, given their history and how badly they've managed their own website and that whole rollout, it would be the SAAQ. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, but here's the other thing. And believe me, I think you and I have been talking long enough that, I'm not a conspiracy kind of guy. Do you really think that facial recognition isn't already being used by various levels of government? I use facial recognition to turn on my phone every morning. I don't know about you. Is that information that I willingly input into Apple hardware, is that information staying with me, or has it been shared? I don't really know. I have no way of finding out, and I'm not particularly, I'm not losing sleep over the whole thing, but I have a sneaking suspicion at this point the train has kind of left the station when it comes to, well, we have to protect our privacy and our biometrics. We are under surveillance, not as much as, say, in London, but there are a lot more surveillance cameras in Montreal, government run or police-run surveillance cameras than there ever used to be. We're being surveyed left, right, and center by private surveillance cameras. I think that the entire issue isn't so much should this government have access or should this ministry have access. I just wish there was some agency out there, and for some reason, you might want to raise this later this week with Carmi Levy, how is there a way we could find out? Is there a way we can dig in and find out? Because as far as I'm concerned, Aaron, and like I say, I'm not trying to freak people out, and I'm not saying there's some great conspiracy out there. I think that horse has already fled the barn.
Okay. God, I want to believe it hasn't, but you raise a fair point. I wouldn't be, maybe it works both ways, Jim. I wouldn't be surprised to find out, as you just suggested, maybe this is already happening, but let's hope not. Last thing I want to ask you to wrap up, I'm going to ask, this is my question of the day. It's what started the show today. Two very different takes. I have a clip from Jean-François Lisée talking about this idea that stores, as you know, part of Bill 96 now, will have to have those French descriptors. Still can't imagine what the one at Canadian Tire would say. And then Tom Mulcair saying, of course, this is, again, something governments have thought of in the past, managed to always shelve because it seems so, for lack of a better word, nitpicky and unnecessary. Jean-François Lisée ties it to respect for the French language or the Francophone community here. What do you think about this? Because some stores, say, we're not going to bother, we're not going to do it. And that may be I don't know, an easy way out, because ultimately they probably will. There's too many people here to serve that they don't want to lose. What do you think?
As you were saying all of this, Aaron, I was thinking of the voice of our good friend Jean Lapierre, who, when he would see situations like this, would become very, very kind of disgruntled and say, you know, it's cheap. And it is. I would say it's petty, but it's cheap. It's a cheap move by a cheap-minded government. I think the vast majority of Quebecers are not as you know, challenged over their identity, as terrified as François Legault would like to believe that they are, that they have no confidence in their language or their culture or their future, and to turn around and create these real kind of like incidents, these deliberately, you know, demonstrative incidents, I think may, as I say, may please the usual audience over at Quebecor with picture bylines. But apart from that, I think there's a growing number of Quebecers out there who are just rolling their eyes and shrugging and saying, my God, is there nothing else that you can think about to do in the last 2 years you have in government?
Fair enough. And that'll be my question. Jim, thank you.
Adam.